Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah. Well, we are those people. And we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast. Married at First Sight, Season 17, Denver, Colorado Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Indeed. Yo, 1 week away from the Super Bowl, man. I'm sorry. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I just wanted to bring it up.
Now I hope you win, because if you lose, I don't want to hear all the crying, all the whining, all that stuff you're going to do if y'all lose.
Okay, well, let's talk about something much happier. Happy Black History Month, as Jennifer O says.
Day one.
Yeah. What has disappointed you about black people already so far?
Not getting canceled today.
Oh, it's just us. They won't care.
Nope.
There are other people somebody. We just definitely can't talk about.
Somebody will care.
Shout out to everybody checking in, man. And yes, Keely, go Niners, indeed. I'm sorry, I got to put this one up. It says, Keely says, Terrell, you look like you smell good. What are you wearing today?
Well, thank you. I like to look like I smell good. Actually, nothing. This is natural. This is my natural musk.
Hey, shout out to Sean Stokes. February 1st, 1960, birth of the sit-in movement in Greensboro, North Carolina. We've all seen that picture, right? At the lunch counter. And remember when we went to the museum in Memphis?
Yeah.
So, this is so bad. We're in Memphis. Terrell's stationed in Memphis. I go there and he's like, all right, we're going to go to the Civil Rights Museum. I'm like, all right, you know where it is? No, we'll just ask somebody. I said, don't ask anybody black in the restaurant. And he's like, oh, of course, they'll know where it is. And I'll be damned. Nobody knew. The person who knew, the white manager, came up and told us how to get there. And the bad thing, it was 3 blocks away. That's how bad it was.
But this was 2005, before there was Google. I don't want people to think this was just like 6 years ago where we could have just used our phones. Because I remember when I moved to Memphis, I used to have to MapQuest directions to get to all the different Applebee's restaurants I was going to until I figured out where they all were.
Print the sheets out?
Yeah, I had to print the sheet out and drive, look up the whole time. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Those were the days. All right. Well, look, man. Interesting. Interesting episode this week, as you know, we get our fifth couple. They're married, right? And now they're off on their honeymoon. And basically, you get to see Chloe and Michael. And is it me, or was Chloe telling Michael that she doesn't do one night stands? But she's like, oh, I had panic attacks all night last night because there was a stranger in my bed.
Complete contrast between Chloe and Emily, seems like.
Yes. That Emily would be like, oh, there's a stranger in my bed.
and I agree with Allison here. It really wasn't an interesting episode. I think it was just like a filler episode, because they're like, we got to squeeze some Chloe Michael stuff in.
Yeah.
Just so we can kind of make the scene.
But that's what made it interesting, though.
Yeah. So the four panic attacks, you can't really judge. I'm not in her shoes. I don't know what that's like, but I couldn't imagine laying there and I'm with somebody and they just keep waking up. Go back. So kudos to Michael, cause I don't know what I'd do. I'd be like, oh goodness. My first time in bed with you. I got to sleep with one eye open.
He was very calm. He was like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny. I'm like, no, that's not funny. I'm checking, making sure there's nothing in her hands every time she's jumping up at that point.
Yeah, I'm just like, now I can't sleep because you got me on edge.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the thing that I did like about this, though, as you have this conversation with them, is that Chloe it seems very at ease with Michael. And I like how, you know, she's like, yeah, touch me. She hit him with that case on Foxy Brown. Touch me, tease me.
Well, but that's good. I mean, I think they're communicating really well. You know, Chloe is a very articulate communicator, unlike some of the other people that say like every third word on like. The show. And so is Michael. So I think it's great that they're talking about some real stuff. And then, you know, they get ready to start packing to go to stay in Colorado.
Yes.
Can you imagine? Here's your honey. You're in Denver. Your honeymoon is in Colorado Springs and Canyon City, Colorado. You get an hour.
Down the street.
down the street. Y'all should even pack. You could have went and got new clothes back at the house and came back.
Look, Nikki B says, did y'all peep Chloe wearing Michael's black and yellow jacket? I don't want to hear nothing about how much he packed. Because he packed a lot. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but did she say that he had six suitcases?
Six bags.
Why?
Because you never know. I agree with that. I tend to overpack it in some cases. If I was going on a vacation to like the unknown, you know, if I'm coming to visit you in Atlanta, I'm like, okay, what are we doing? We're going to do this Friday. We're going to do this. I'm going to pack accordingly. But with this show, you have no idea what all you're going to get into. And so you just got to be prepared and bring a bunch of stuff. And keep in mind, this is still the same six bags of clothes he's probably going to bring to their apartment together when they move in. So to me, it makes sense. Now, I thought it was funny how she said all her clothes in her closet could fit in six bags. Yeah. So she is a true minimalist. I mean, I'm a minimalist, but I have more clothes than that.
I expected when she saw his bags to go, have a panic attack. What the hell? She's a minimalist and he's got six bags. And I don't care, Jeremy, that you're saying six small bags. It's still six bags.
But six, it was smart. He had a bag for his dress clothes and stuff, because that stuff you don't want to get wrinkled too much, even though they probably have an iron in the room, but you don't want to get that messed up.
Then every
you
hotel sweaters, has an iron, but go ahead.
Flannels. But you don't always want to trust the hotel iron, because something you might learn, cleaning people when they clean the hotels, they don't always clean the iron. So sometimes if you're trying to iron, especially something white, it'll get scorched. Oh, yeah. Because the iron is bad. So you can't trust hotel irons.
You know, really simple solution. Look at it first. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Why would you put that on your white shirt without checking it out first? Well, look, they get there. And on the way to, you know, down the street, Michael is knocked out in the car. I mean, hey, he is me. When I first came to the States, an hour trip, I'm knocked out, right? It's real easy. I'm just tired. So he's knocked out. And the one thing that she's amazed about, he doesn't snore.
Well, I'd be knocked out too if I had to sleep next to.
And why are you sleeping?
He was tired.
I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah, he was tired. He was like. You know, he just needed him a little disco nap, because he got interrupted sleep most of the night. So, hey, I get it.
At least on this trip, she wasn't having a panic attack. So that's a great point. That is a great point.
Yeah.
Man, what'd you think of him? What'd you think about him asking her about the expectations on the honeymoon?
Oh, you know, I think it's great because, and I like how they had the conversation about expectations. It wasn't like all the other crappy couples and their friends about, so honeymoon, what do you think? But I think he's trying to feel her out. And I think he's going out of his way to try to help make her feel comfortable, because he knows that she came into a shitstorm. So he's trying to make her feel comfortable. So I think it's good to find out what her expectations are and what she wants to get out of this trip. I'm glad he wasn't like, so, you know, how do you feel about sex on the honeymoon? Like, that would totally ruined it.
It would have. J-Roll says they communicate better than every other couple combined. CXM says, Michael seems genuine. I hope it's not fake. Even though I'm just going to say, last week, y'all were saying everything Chloe did was an act and scene.
Yeah. Huh? It's like they got a little mic and a little ear device here. In 3, 2, 1. Okay, okay, tone it down a little bit for the next one. Tone it down. 3, 2, 1. Pick it up a notch. Kick it up a notch. In between.
Oh, Jesus. What is wrong with us? Kitty says, you got me actually crying here. I've been enjoying their conversations. They get so jacked up on the honeymoon. And I see this as a lot in the comments right now, too, because Karen says they got cheated on the honeymoon. But they enjoyed the 2 days of honeymoon that they had, right? Basically, they got a weekend.
I think they did get cheated, but I think they made the most out of it. Mm-hmm. Which is all you can do. Because if you think about the other couples on their honeymoon, it's, what, 5 days in Cancun. You got all the other couples, all the other drama. This is just them two focusing on them two. So you can look at it, put the positive spin on it. But would they have rather gone to Cancun? Sure. Who wouldn't?
I'm sure Michael packed for it.
He was prepared just in case.
That was about three bags of Speedos he had over there with matching headbands, I'm sure.
I think they could have put him in Cancun, or they could have put him in Iceland or Greenland. He would have been prepared for whatever the climate would have allowed.
Hey, I'm not mad at the man for being prepared. I'm just like, I can only imagine Chloe's anxiety when she saw all the bags. Like, wait. Is this all of ours?
Well, they did tell her at the wedding. His friends were like, hey, his wardrobe.
Yeah.
He's into it. So, and I think there's if both of them had to pack like that, that would be probably a mess. So at least if one person's the overpacker, the other one's the underpacker. And as we've seen, he had a couple things that she could borrow because she didn't pack enough. To me, that's what a good marriage is, right? I got you covered. Here.
You didn't bring a flannel jacket? I got you.
You're not taking my only jacket and I'm walking around freezing. I got extras.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be the ones who... He can't help her with her luggage if she came with a lot anyway, because obviously he's got his 6 bags to carry. Next couple that we saw for a quick second in this was Becca and Austin when they were off to the grandmother's house. They went to visit George Washington's house. And thinking about Michael... and. This was actually pretty funny that they're out there, they're enjoying it, and they think about Michael when they see the swords, right? And what is it? He lost his princess, but gained a queen. Way to go, Austin. Way to go. I see how you picked that right back up, see?
Yeah. Any conversation that I talk about sex and intimacy with Becca, he's in.
Speaking of no sex. Emily and Brennan said they're working on their active listening, right? And they decided to use a talking paddle since, you know, the talking stick apparently somehow mysteriously disappeared.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to do this. Next time I'm with you in person, we're going to have a talking stick.
Why?
Because I want to make sure I get some stuff off my chest before you start talking. And you can't talk unless you have the stick, right? So that's what it's going to be next time I see you. But yeah.
Or I just ignore the stick.
Or just hit you with it. Now you're going to lay there. Yeah. You conscious. You're going to listen to me, damn it. So they're using the talking stick to communicate better and rebuild trust. And I still don't understand this trust that was broken between them. But just listening to that whole conversation, I'm like, I'm not buying any of this, especially when Brendan said, I care about you a lot and I want you in my life. Losing you would suck. And I'm trying not to let that happen. Mm-hmm. Would it really suck, though?
Yeah. Apparently. Because
but
nobody believed him. I don't think we know he didn't believe him because he knew he was lying. She didn't believe him. And none of us watching believed him at all. I mean, it's crazy. But the thing about it is, like, as they're talking about this friendship, right? And this is the interesting thing. And Emily said that she has different expectations for them, and Brennan doesn't make her feel like a friend. I think they forgot what this is. The show is Married at First Sight, not Friends for Life.
Right. Well, this is what I believe this is Brennan's way of just getting through it by focusing on the friendship, and let's not really deal into the marriage because we know that he has whatever issue with her that he won't speak up and say. You know, he doesn't want to blur the line between friendship and a relationship. And when she say doesn't treat her like a friend, he asked, did you catch me? He was like, are you sure you want to do this?
Yes.
I was like, ooh, what is he going to say? Like, is he really going to be like, fine, I'm going to, on TV, I was hoping that was going to happen. But it didn't. But she said the wedding, he didn't put any effort into having fun and want to hang out. And this is where my issue with Brennan in this episode is. And okay. And let me say, not so much issue with Brennan. I don't like how the show is editing this to make it seem like Brennan's a monster.
Are you really going to defend the master manipulator? Go ahead.
I have the talking stick.
Yeah,
this is why we don't communicate well. but here's what I'm saying is, like, the show is making him look so bad, and I'm not saying he's great by any means, but there's something he's holding back that people don't understand why he's doing it. I just want him to say it, because Emily doesn't know, we don't know, but Brennan knows what the issue is, and he's just not speaking up and saying it. You know, we keep making assumptions that, well, he didn't want to hang out and have fun at the wedding because he knew you were going to get a little, you know, a little tipsy. Right. And party girl Emily's going to come out, and that just annoys him and turns him off. But if that's just it, why not just say that, man? But speak up for yourself, because you are really looking bad on this show. And people think that you're verbally abusive. People have already in the social media been saying that he's potentially could be physically abusive. Mm-hmm. Dude, stick up for yourself. If that's not who you are, tell the story and tell the reason.
Sean has an idea. He says he doesn't like her because her body count is higher than his. We've gone down this path before thinking that this was it. And then I think we've X'd that out and gone to something else because we feel that he's added to her body count. Right. Is that where we still are thinking that this happened on the honeymoon?
I think that they slept together during the honeymoon. And that's why Emily is holding on, because imagine if they were in the Austin Becca situation, at least Austin and Becca touch each other. They kiss, they cuddle. He doesn't even want to touch her. So if he wasn't doing that from the beginning, I don't think Emily would be just hung up. But I think that they had slept together, and then she was like, I changed my mind.
Yeah.
You know, after he kept seeing her get wasty face.
Wasty face.
Wasty face.
Shy Gav says, Brennan is a prudish snob. And Moondance says, well, let me just turn this up another notch. Brennan is an ass.
Again, I'm trying to defend Brennan here. Brennan, if you're listening, speak your truth. Tell everybody why.
B. Lewis is saying she revealed it on the after party. I didn't watch the after party. You did. Did she reveal it?
She didn't reveal that he gave her the reasons of why he doesn't want to touch her and he's not interested. I didn't hear her say that on the after party. She was a little on fire on the after party for this one too. Like she was last time, although she was smart enough not to come after Keisha. But I didn't hear her say the reason that he...
That's because Keisha gave her that look. And the last time she's like, you know what? I know better. Over here, please. Keisha, like,
you got one more time. One more time.
Keisha was like, we'll be right back after this break. Girl. She's like, you know what? You're right. My bad. I apologize.
Treat her like a black mom with a kid in the store before the cameras come back on. Yeah. Okay, we go live in 10 seconds. You don't want shit? You ain't gonna touch shit? You ain't gonna say shit?
If you even look at me wrong. Oh, man. Look, I know you're trying to defend Brennan, but Elove173 says, I literally want to fight Brennan. And I'm a lady. I'm just going to say, ladies usually don't say they want to fight somebody, but we digress.
Hey, I get it. And this is why I'm saying, Brennan, if there's whatever the issue is, if you don't eventually come out and say it, your reputation, you're going to be like someone else from season 12, that you're going to be the villain for life.
Yes. As we know, Mavs fans do not forget. Now, Kitty says, Emily did say that he wanted to know why she always has to have wine. And the answer to that is simple, because tequila is not always available. This is plain and simple.
Right. But there's a difference of why do you always have to have wine compared to saying, why do you get drunk so much? Because when you do, I lose interest.
Right.
Every single time.
Exactly. That is the point. You've got to say that, right? You've got to put that. But it's interesting because we get more when she's here talking with Claire. And Claire is like, is so worried about, first of all, first we find out she's really worried about Cameron. Why are you worried about a man you want none to do with, right? But then she gets to telling Emily that Brennan is silencing her, and that's not right.
Yeah, he's trying to fit you into a mold that's not you. And this conversation was annoying because of how many likes Emily was doing. I mean, Emily, you smart woman. Use some vocabulary. Just take the word like out and your sentence still works.
like James says, Emily gets the worst advice too. Claire is the last person to talk to. So are you telling me, James, and you, Terrell, that you didn't like when she said, Emily, that's who you are. Never not be yourself for some man.
Mm.
You didn't like that advice?
I didn't like that advice because it's one thing to say, hey, be yourself. Mm-hmm. But if being yourself is a sloppy drunk, a real friend would say, hey, can we talk?
Yes.
Sis, I need you to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you at the bachelorette party. I just met you, so I let you have a pass. But I've watched you all this time. I'm going to need you to dial that back. To me, that's what a real friend would do.
Well, they're not real friends. Let's be honest. They're not real friends. They're TV friends.
TV friends, but that's all they got is each other in this moment.
Yeah, well, that's true. I know you said you you heard a lot of likes. Kitty's like, yeah, man, I don't even hear the likes anymore. Like, that's just blocked out. Kind of like how Indigo Blue says Cameron has blocked Claire's number. That's why she can't get him on the phone. I just gotta remember he's sleeping. He's recovering. No, he just says nope. He has you saved as do not answer.
Yeah.
In big, bold letters. You have those that you put, do not answer and do not call. Like, so you don't make the mistake of calling this person when you're drunk late at night.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm hoping that Cameron's healing up well, and I hope he's doing a whole lot better. But I think it's great for him to totally separate himself mm-hmm. and let him heal and let Claire do her thing. And honestly, I believe the producers are trying to make Claire make these phone calls and talk about this because I really don't think she cares about Cam at all.
She
if she did, she wouldn't treat him the way she did. So I don't really think she cares, but they're like, hey, you should check on Cam. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Huh? Oh, wrong scene.
Wrong person. Wrong person. Hey, that's probably, Cam's probably having panic attacks thinking about his experience with Claire this whole time. Just laying there sleeping, thinking about his bike shop. She didn't like the bikes.
I will tell you something. From this conversation alone, we're realizing that E-Love wants to fight everybody because she goes, I want to fight Emily too. You want to fight
just
everybody.
Coming in like the Rock in the middle of the ring, just knocking everybody. Blah!
Look, we get back to our couple du jour. That's Chloe and Michael. And here it is. Day 2 of marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is it me or did it feel like Chloe was making fun of Michael's outfit at first when they're heading to their outdoor activity? Because she's like, yeah, well, you know, if the bandana didn't match, then yes, I probably would have a problem with the outfit.
I think that was just more tongue-in-cheek. I think they were just laughing. I don't think she really... Yeah. Meant that. Someone that's a minimalist is not going to judge you because your headband and your shoes don't match.
Exactly. That's enough. Look, he's got stuff that matches. You've got one color in the entire one bag that you brought. Well, here's the thing that's interesting, though. She chose this activity, right? Come to find out, she has acrophobia and wanted to face her fear with her new husband. And that's why she chose climbing up the side of a mountain dangling by a string. Not something I would have done. And I, too, have a fear of heights. But that's not happening.
But you jumped out of an airplane with me. So you kicked it up a notch. To me, I don't have that fear, but I think that's mild compared to jumping out of an airplane. But for someone with that fear, that would be heavy. Yeah, I'd rather crawl down a mountain than to jump out of an airplane.
To be fair.
And you did that.
To be fair, I did not jump. The guy...
We fell out of an airplane.
The guy who was strapped to my back, he jumped. I had no choice.
Yeah, we both did like this. And leaned down to the edge of an airplane.
He was like, all right, you ready? I was like, and then he jumped.
Yeah. But, I mean, I thought it was I like hiking, so I think it's a good outdoor deal. She wanted to conquer her fear with her husband and all that, although I think she was being a little dramatic about it. Goodness gracious, holy smokes. By the time you get done, something like that, like if we landed and you stood up and just said, woo, holy smokes, I'd be like, we're doing it again. But what did you say when we boulder? And that was my second time doing it. And still I'm like, holy shit, I want to hear something else than holy smokes. Jeepers. It's like talking to Scooby Shaggy from Scooby Doo. Jeepers.
Look, the interesting thing that happened from this, though, I think for her, when she got up, she's like, yeah, that was great. I never want to do it again. The difference is when we jumped out of the plane, we're like, I want to do it again. I wouldn't mind doing it again, right? But I like the way the conversation went after that when she asked Michael, Chloe asked Michael about his biggest fear. And come to find out, his is the ocean. But he's like, hey, I tackle that still. I get in the ocean. Now, if we decide to go scuba diving, now we're talking something different.
But I think that's great. You're just kind of sharing. And it's a little bit of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Right. Indeed. She showed her vulnerability with doing something and conquered it. So kudos to Chloe for doing that, because there's so many people that are scared of something that they won't even try it, won't even go anywhere near it. So kudos for her for doing that. Him talking about the issue with the water and even the roller coaster part. I mean, I thought it was a great conversation, but what I liked most about that conversation is when he asked her, how do you like to be supported? You know, when you're feeling these things, is it words? Do you want advice? Do you want me just physically be present if you need anything? I thought that was a really great question.
He was on one in this episode. City Boys.
Michael Scott Games.
City Boys up, because Michael was representing hard. He was on it. And you know, you're right about the vulnerability of the conversation. And I never fault anybody for their fears, because you can't. Unless you have that exact same fear, you have no idea what that's like. And when you look at somebody's eyes and you see that fear, you have to go like, okay, it's time to, all right, let's flip this around. The sailboat, and to see that wave coming, she looks like she's about to pass out. Let's not do that. That would be on my honeymoon with my wife. Let's turn this boat around. He's like, but we haven't been. Turn it around. Let's go back. I want to make it through the rest of this honeymoon, all right? But,
yeah.
And that's what I found out. Same thing. She's got, like Michael has that fear of the ocean. And it's like, because a lot of people look and say, I don't know what's down there. For me, it's the height. It could be the second floor, the third floor, the fourth floor, or the 50th floor. Just all depends. So, what I did notice, too, though, is that neither of them want to burden people with their problems. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think when you've been so independent for so long and successful, because I think there's a difference of people who are independent and struggling and you don't want help, but you're struggling hard. Right. So it's nice to have that person. But when you've just looked at your life and been able to achieve things you want to do without help and support from other folks, it's hard to lean in and ask. But it's good that they both recognize that. And it's good that they both gave each other that space to say, hey, I'm here if you need. It's not so much, I'm going to come fix and solve your problem. I'm just, if you need me, I'm here. Don't forget about that.
I'm your shoulder. Exactly. Now, we're liking Chloe and Michael right now, right? But Katie is like, yes, she did shade him about the outfit. Not sure what level of fake she is on yet. So Katie is very suspicious. And that's, I'm blaming all of y'all who was calling Chloe an actress last week.
Yeah, I still got to keep watching. I don't know. I still got to keep watching.
YG Hall says Michael's bang is the third member of the marriage. Why? Look, she loves it, man. I watch these two, and you can see the chemistry between. I don't know why y'all keep saying it looks fake, because you see the chemistry between them. It's and maybe it's because it's that much better than everybody else on the season, but you see the chemistry between these two.
In such a short period of time compared to everyone else. And we all right now we know if Chloe doesn't work out, Nikki B is ready to slide in the DMs.
Yeah.
And be like, I got this.
Now, we're talking about this great chemistry we see here. Let's get back to some lack of chemistry. Emily and Brennan. They're getting ready for a meeting with Pastor Troy, a.k.a. Pastor Cal. And Emily's a little nervous. Does she have a right to be?
I don't know, because there's two different Emilys we're seeing. There's Emily and what she says. There's what Emily says in front of Brennan. Mm-hmm. And then there's what Emily says when she's getting in front of the experts when Brennan's sitting there. And then there's what Emily says, so it's three sides. Then what Emily says when she's talking to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too sure. I think she's more worried about not upsetting Brennan, you know, for whatever reason. But it just seems like she just kind of contradicts a lot of what she says. And then my first thing I got turned off by, first thing Pastor Cal asks, are you happy? Yes.
I knew when she answered that, I'm like, Terrell's going to eat her alive.
Yes. But... yeah. I'm happy. No, you're not. Why not just say I'm not happy?
Yeah. Because Brennan is sitting right next to her. And Brennan said, look, when we get in front of these experts, you say what I want you to say. Okay? And that's it.
He pulled a black mama. When Pastor Cal get here, you don't want shit. You ain't gonna touch shit. You ain't gonna say shit.
You ain't gonna embarrass me like you did the last time when we had Dr. P in here. I almost had to put her in her place.
He got touch you know, in her eyes. He saw five. Five.
Look, man. It's interesting because it's... he says also, if she wasn't happy, she would leave. Leave, because we know you're not happy. We know it.
Again, this is why we think that they consummated the relationship, and now, you know, she doesn't really know how to do it. And we also got to keep in mind that she doesn't have relationship experience. This is the longest relationship that she's ever had, and so a lot of us on this podcast, we were like, yeah, we've been out a long time ago. She's not there yet, so you got to give her a little bit of benefit of the doubt. But I still think she's a bit of a problem.
Ariadne says, and this is why I think Emily's a bigger problem than Brennan, because here she is lying to the experts who are there. Even Pastor Cal didn't believe her. You don't believe her. None of you believe her. I don't believe her. And we know that. Well, Pastor Cal says, all right, then since y'all want to come with this bull, let me show y'all these videos of when y'all were signing up for this show here. And the first thing I noticed, Pastor Cal needs some damn lotion. Them knuckles were ashy. What? Did you not see it? Am I the only one? No, I am not.
Yeah.
Ladies.
You're the only one. I don't look for that. I didn't look for it.
But you see, that's why they need a sister on that on his production team to make sure. Nope, and Pastor Cal, hold up. Put some lotion on your hands real quick.
Anyway, no, I didn't see any of that. Emily's video or her interview video seemed like who she is. It seemed like that's who she really is on the show. So I was like, okay, that makes sense. And Brennan was like, yep, same girl. Everything was good. Brennan, on the other hand, honestly, I think the Brennan in the video was the same Brennan in the honeymoon up until he had enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it right there.
Because he said, look, I'm coachable, which that hasn't come out with any of the experts. I'm very loving and affectionate. We haven't seen that since the honeymoon. So I'm thinking maybe he was all these things. Oh, and I'm going to trust the process. Yeah, he gave up on the process day three in Cancun.
Look, first of all, I'll get back to that. I just want to point this out because you see, notice Terry G said notice the ash too. Danny says Ashy McGee. Nikki B says I saw the ash. And Chocolate Suda says I saw Pastor Calamine lotion. Now, here's the thing. Emily said that she saw the same qualities in Brennan. So I see the same qualities, but I also see some dissimilarities, you know, especially when it comes to trusting the process, because he kind of cut the effort short, right? Now, mm-hmm. the thing about that, and I saw this earlier, somebody had put this up and said that St. Anne's fans said Brennan is trusting the process, quote unquote, trusting the process, which equals run me my money after week 8. I'm only here so I don't get fined. That's it. We know what it is. That's his trust the process. So is he doing it? He is.
Well, he's trusting the process to get the check. I get yes. that. But mm-hmm. Emily was right that, you know, you're saying all the right things because you're on your A game for the interview.
Yeah.
Which everybody would do. She said Brennan trusting the process got cut short for her. But again, Brennan, why will you not say why?
Yeah.
Why did you cut it short and just tell her and right. stop doing all this lies of I really care about you and I don't want to lose you. You wanted to lose her as soon as you got back from Cancun. You didn't even want to live with her
at all. So, and the women have noticed, the women in the chat have noticed everything that he did wrong in that video, right? L. Ramey says Brennan's video is like when people lie on a job application. You look at a lot of job applications. I know you've seen this.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I know PowerPoint and Excel, backwards and forwards, whatever you need. Sure. I can do that.
J. Rose says, Brennan in the video lied. He has never shown love and affection, even at the wedding.
I have to think back. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they weren't any different than the other couples at the... Now, if he's saying the wedding was Michael and Chloe's wedding, mm-hmm. 100%. But at their wedding, they weren't anything different than most of the other couples. So I'd give them a pass on that one.
Yeah. Chocolate Student said he said in his interview he would make his wife a priority. Side eye emoji.
No.
And Mercedes says, Emily is consistent in the interview and now. Yes. She drank through both of them. Brennan is lying his ass off. He's not caring. And he doesn't put anyone before himself. Yes. I know you want to defend this man, but, you know, there's not a lot to defend here.
I'm not defending. What I'm saying is I'm just trying to say, hey, Brennan, I'm trying to help you out. Mm. Speak your truth because you are really looking like a monster
right
out of this whole deal, which is not what he wants. Right. And if he is one, okay, great, let's expose it. But my thing is, it seems it's a little tilted towards what Emily thinks, but also Emily is a bit of a problem too, but we're not addressing that. At least we are, but Mavs isn't.
Nikki B, that's crazy. Brennan seems sling bladish in his interview. That's hilarious. Did you see what Pastor Cal told him? You know, don't use the F word as in friends, because it sets boundaries that you can't ever get past. And why is it on this show that people who come to be married at first sight, and they should put in the contract, if you decide to go in the friend zone, you get the hell off our damn show. That's what it should be. Because if you're not going to trust the process, as you say, and go through the process, then why are you even here? But let's just try to be friends. When has that ever worked out in your favor? When you are with someone and they go, you're trying to get that romantic side going and they go, let's be friends. Has that ever worked out?
For me? No. No.
The way you said that was so evil.
Well, here's what's funny. For me, I'm like, I'm thinking about it. If I've said it, let's just be friends. Yeah. No, nothing happens beyond that. If I get put in that friend zone where I'm like, okay, I'll be back.
And when I come back,
that's when you see him post on social media, please pray for me. Oh, what's going on? Do you need a friend?
You need a shoulder to cry on?
Yeah, I got you, baby girl.
Break in case of emergency.
He did what to you? I'm on my way.
I'm your friend.
Get dressed. I'm going to take you somewhere nice. Get your mind off of that, dude.
Oh, better yet. No, let's stop. All right, let's move on to Chloe and Michael. They're having dinner. And Chloe reveals that she grew up in a really cultural, diverse community. I like this conversation that they had here, really just talking about their upbringing and their backgrounds and, you know, where they grew up, when they moved, what it was life was like. I thought it was pretty good.
I thought that was okay. Mm-hmm. The big thing for me was what Michael revealed about his family, because that's come up, is that the first wedding, you didn't see family. And then the second wedding, you didn't see mm-hmm. his family. And yeah. so he says that his, you know, pretty much he's told his sister that he's going for round two, mm-hmm. Being married at first sight, but he hasn't told right. his mom. And I respect that. I mean, do you feel like that was shady, or he should have told his mom, or you trusting him?
Okay. Here's the thing about that. And here's why I'm never going to. He has. Is his mom Filipino or is his mom Greek? Because he's Filipino and Greek, right?
I feel like his mom's Filipino and his dad was Greek.
And it's probably why he didn't tell her again. Because at the same time, it's in this. I just don't know that she'd have too much to say to him about it. He's like, you know what? I'm going to show you when this is good, because I already showed you the first time I told you about it, got excited. She's like, don't you bother me with this nonsense anymore. Don't you even call me if possible. They call you back. And but he knows his mom. I mean, at the same time, would you tell your mom if you went back for the second time? You'd be like, nah, I'll let her know later when I know for sure this is going to work out.
You're right. And I bet that could be why he's not telling her. At the moment, but I didn't have an issue with it. Now, you know who did have an issue with it? Was Emily on the after party. Mm. She was just like, well, it was just lack of commitment. I'm looking at her like, you're overly committed to somebody who doesn't want you. You leave Michael and Chloe alone, let them figure it out.
Hey, Sarah agrees, though. She says, I would have felt some type of way, your favorite saying, him not telling his mom.
After he explained it, to me, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. After what he went through, because you figured his mom's going to give him hell. And if this doesn't work out, she'd probably give him more hell. Like, see, what did I tell you last time? This is your you don't listen. You haven't listened to me since you were little.
He's like, I'm going to need to go through this again. J-Rose says, the fact that Michael told her to me says a lot. He's not hiding anything from Chloe. Yes.
Yes.
She didn't. He's been up front.
Yeah.
Right. And L. Ramey says, look, Michael was humiliated the first time. I can see him waiting. Yes. Remember, he said that was probably the single most embarrassing thing he's ever gone through. I get that. Yeah, I'm not dragging my mama into this again. Because now I got to fight everybody. Now I'm E-Love 173.
Yeah.
I'm fighting everybody. I'm just saying. So, you know, I think it's what I did notice, though, and I don't know whether it's editing or not. It didn't seem like Chloe completely believed that, though.
I think that could have been bad editing, because I'm sure that there was more conversation that they had around that. But I think that Chloe is probably going to look at this from a 10,000 foot view and really understand and not be too judgy about this. I think she'll totally let it go. And she even said that at the after party.
Well, the good thing is, by the next morning, she'd apparently already let it go if it wasn't bad editing, and that was her actual reaction. Because day three of the marriage, day two of their honeymoon, of their short honeymoon, starts off with a trip to the spa. And Michael said, hey, I'll work out. I'm the best person you've seen on reality TV, boxing and hitting the mitts. Watch me. And drops his robe and shows he is butt ass naked. He's like, take a look at this.
So I thought that was a nice, intimate date, but I don't know about you. I don't like couples massages because you can't really talk to each other, and it feels weird to talk to each other when you got two strangers there, because you can't lay there and be like, girl, when I get you back to the room, gotta be on and pop. Yeah, right over there, right in this little spot right here. Appreciate that. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
And maybe my wife and I are just different in that space. When we went on a honeymoon, that's what we did. We bought that spa villa, so we had use of the spa all the time. So we went and did massages. What is this? I don't know, but let's do it. It's for couples. We went. And it was a race to see who would fall asleep first. Every single time.
But I thought, you know, and this was Michael's idea for this day. And mm-hmm. Michael was trying to get a little flirty. I like how he said, now that you've seen me exposed, is there anything that captures your act? Mm-hmm. Anything you like about all this that you want to talk about? And then, of course, she's like, oh, well, your tattoos. I've never dated anybody that had any tattoos. I was like, not one. Which, it's totally fine. There are a lot of people who don't have ink. I get it. But she's not dating one person. And then so Michael comes back with, well, you know, your hair and, you know, your eyes. When I saw you come down the aisle, but I really, really like your lips.
Yeah.
That's a move. Oh.
Yo,
that's a move. I was just like, get it, Michael. Get him.
Bro, look, first he said, look at this. And then he said, let me tell you something. I've been looking at you.
And yeah.
Because he made sure he's looking at her. And, you know, it's one of those moments because she's just, her eyes are locked on him in this moment, right? Because not only does she say she likes the ink on him, she's like, she finds him very attractive. She likes his hair. So for all y'all trying to say the bang is the third person in the marriage, she likes that. So, but it's, I like that moment with them, and they weren't afraid to have this conversation. And then the masseuse was like, look, man, obviously it's too many of us in here. Would y'all like to massage each other? And she's like, yes, get over here.
Then she was like, let's go out and take a smoke. Y'all do this. Take care of the rest of this. But again, if you think about that moment with they've known each other for, 48 hours at this moment. And now you're both pretty much kind of naked or close to in at the spa. And now you get a chance to massage your new partner. And it's a very intimate deal. And I was like, that was such a smart move on Michael's part. And I think he made Chloe feel safe and comfortable. Where she was just like, yeah, come massage me, Michael. Like, she was all for it. I thought it was a great plan.
He's like, let me know if this is too much pressure. Let me know if I'm too much. Hey, let's be honest. Because remember, he told her before that, don't be mad I make noises, right? So he's probably like, all right, let me see if I can make you make some noises. Let me know if the pressure's too much. Yeah!
I wonder if he was doing his own noises. Like, I think that'd be creepy. That'd be creepy. He's massaging. That's nice right there.
Yeah. Allison says, my ex-husband was a moaner. It was so awkward every time we got a couple's massage. And then she said, I always tipped extra. Like, thank you. I ain't got to do it.
Sorry you had to deal with that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I like this date they had. And then he even tells her, yes, this was my evil plan to get you naked and massage you.
Work them fingers, man. I get it. I thought it was good. Good date.
What the hell?
Good. I don't know. I just maybe that's my moan. Don't judge me. Be sex positive. Don't judge me.
Hey, now Nikki B's like, hey, Chloe's lying. She seems intimidated by Michael. That I don't see that because she's very take charge. I don't see it. But you know what? I figured it out because as I scroll up, I see Nikki had another comment. I think Nikki's hating on Chloe because she says, if she don't want him, I'll slam dunk him tonight.
Yeah. I know. Nikki said that she got her bag ready. She just put me in, coach.
She said, I got six bags,
you need
too.
The lefty? I got it. I got this.
Hey, Chuck, by the way, as far as your, hopefully, to say this is not your moan, because Chuck Asuna says, Terrell sounded like a leaf blower.
I'm going to put that in everybody's head. Now, none of y'all are going to get massages without thinking about this. I just ruined massages for all of you. You're welcome.
Like that damn Terrell. Damn. Oh, look. So Emily and her friend Mackenzie, they're on Zoom or FaceTime actually. And first thought was, damn, they all talk like that.
Of course. Birds of a feather.
But Mackenzie asks Emily, like, what has Brennan done to make himself valuable to her? And she really couldn't say, could she?
No, she couldn't. And, you know, she's still thinking to herself, why am I still in this? Like, why do I still care about this? As she said it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's because y'all hooked up in the honeymoon. That's, I can't think of any other reason she'd be this invested in somebody that's not equally invested in her. I thought Mackenzie gave her real friend advice, way better than Claire's. Mm-hmm. And it's just telling her, like, look, this guy seems like a master manipulator.
Yeah.
He seemed really nice. We met him and all that, but you should leave. And then Emily was letting her know that people noticed Brendan didn't talk much to her at Chloe and Michael's wedding. And I think it's because he was annoyed that she's drunk or probably going to be getting drunk. But he just doesn't like her. And her friend's like, yeah, you should run for the hills. I'm like, yes, finally one of her friends giving her real advice, saying cut your losses, move on.
I knew she was going to give good advice when she called him a master manipulator, hence the thumbnail for this week's recap, right? Because she's like, wait a minute. So you're telling me you broke his trust because you talked about your problems in therapy. Okay. Like, wait a minute. This make it make sense is what she was basically saying. I like Mackenzie, and besides the way she talks, Jesus, stop. It was bad.
That's just how they all talk. I mean, that's her friend group. They drink wine and they just party because we're girls and we don't get that.
All right, well, we went to Becca and Austin, so you stop that.
And I was like, and then she was like, and I was like, oh my God.
Becca and Austin are getting ready for a visit from Dr. Pia, right? And Austin said, well, you know, we haven't had time to take steps towards intimacy. And I was like, you haven't had time. How much time do you need?
Well, I mean, in Austin's defense, you had cats, you had allergies, he couldn't breathe, his lungs were closing, and, you know, Becca should understand.
Yeah.
And I just had to laugh when he said all that. And even Becca told him, Dr. Pia said you make time, you know, for romance.
Exactly.
And he's like, it's just hard to fit it all in a day. I'm like, foreplay? Oh. Like, when I was his age, I could have had the flu. And I'd be like, look, you're going to have to do all the work. I can't. There was, in my early 20s, I'd pulled some type of muscle in my neck. I couldn't even turn my head. I had one of them tiger patches. I couldn't even turn my head. So I was just like, look, just don't hurt me. But we can still do this.
Just don't hurt me. It's funny.
Just don't hurt me, but we can still do this. Just don't hurt me. But I'm just like, how is it Austin is not doing anything with her? And that's the thing that bothers me the most about Austin is if Austin was treating Becca the way Brennan treated Emily, I would get it.
Yeah.
But he's still Mr. Affectionate, Mr. Cuddly, listen to pecks and kisses all the time.
Right.
But not doing anything else, I still don't understand.
Nikki B says Austin can't stand at full attention, in my opinion. Wow. We went there, huh? We went.
Wow.
Michelle says Austin is using every excuse in the book. Yes, he is. JR says, J Rose says excuses. Tara G says something doesn't add up with Austin. Either something about Becca is off-putting to him or he's on the why are we going all the way there? Really?
I think people just do that. Oh, you don't want to have sex? Then that means you're this. I don't believe that. There's a reason, and we all just don't know what that reason is. But I totally understand Becca's frustration. But I'm like, Austin, the cats. Now, if a guy uses the cat excuse, there's only one reason.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to sleep with you.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've used the cat excuse. I'm like, hey, look, you're really cool. You're really nice. But achoo! You got these cats, and that was a fake sneeze, and it worked. Same fake sneeze I did years ago, decades ago. and I'm just like, this is just not going to work.
Like, she goes,
well, I love my cats, like my family. I'm like, well, then maybe we should just be friends because it's just not going to work out. And I walked away, and she thought the reason was because of the cats, but nope. What's it?
Danielle says, maybe it's a health issue in the back of his mind. And if I get that, but she's pretty much put that to rest in the fact like, hey, no, let's get it. LG Art says some dudes find every excuse to be intimate and some find every excuse not to. And Shaw Gam says, reverse Austin Powers. You don't make me horny, baby.
So I think it's Sean Gamm, I believe, said he could took Benadryl. So on the after party, Keisha asked him about that. She's like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. Like, can you take it? So he said they did Benadryl, they got a humidifier and all these different things. He just wasn't feeling, you know, sexual in that moment because he felt the congestion and all that stuff with the cats. Again, still a still boils down to you just don't want to. Yeah, you're not interested.
Hey, that's all it is. Well, Dr. Pierce shows up, and of course, intimacy comes up immediately. And Becca admits that the trip to the grandmother's house just bothered her. Everything about it just bothered her at times throughout. So at least, and but she hasn't been shy about admitting how she feels. So that's a good thing for her, right? And it's not gonna
happen. Yeah, but to Austin's, like, I couldn't probably have sex in my grandma's house. That'd be weird. I just couldn't do it. So I get it. But I think she was more frustrated, not so much they didn't have sex. It's just a lack of intimacy, touching, little stuff. Not overdrawn PDA or anything crazy, but anything to show some type of intimacy and connection. He didn't do any of that. And Emily called him out for that on the after party, too. She's like, I don't understand. Why won't you have sex with her? Which I was like, Emily, bravo for asking that question. I wish you'd be that bold when you talk to Brennan. But you call Austin out like that. It was good. Of course, he didn't really answer the question. So
YG Hall says, I hate that Austin has to deal with this. Such a double standard. Exactly. Stand up for men who are not trying to give it up. We don't have to give it up easy if we don't want to. Why must we? Tara G says, I said Dio because he likes to be.
Maybe he's just open.
Apparently. When you're getting pegged, you're open eye. High Vibe says Austin is allergic to all kinds of cats. He's like, I don't like these cats and I don't like this one either.
I can't breathe. I can't breathe.
She's like, here, have some Allegra D. No.
I can't breathe.
Oh my God. Well, when we get to back to our couple du jour, Chloe and Michael. And apparently, Michael not only packs 62 bags just for a 2-day trip, but he also takes long ass baths and showers. And so much so that Chloe has time to kill the beasts, clean it, cook, and prepare dinner and decorate the whole place and light the candles. And make the candles from scratch, too. And all in time for him to get out of the shower.
I'm sorry, that was DoorDash. They I mean, they had a chance. They honeymooned an hour away. I'm sure that Mavs can pick up some DoorDash and put it on some plateware. She wasn't in there slaving. She wasn't in there slaving in the kitchen. Come on now, that was DoorDash.
At least call it room service. Damn. Like, wait a minute. Their quick honeymoon almost over, right? And it's back to the real world the next day. And they start talking about this. And Chloe admits that she and Michael have had deeper conversations than she's had with years-long relationships. And now that reality is really starting to hit her like, whoa, this is moving fast.
Okay, so the reality that hit me, and I do a lot of talking. I've always had this mouth ever since I was little. I've never gotten mouth sores from talking too much. And that's what she said happened. And I think she might have said on the after party that they've talked for so many hours that she wanted to get mouth sores, but they had to give her like some baking soda and stuff, like do a rinse. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why she was doing that. I think last week people were saying that all the licking stuff she was doing, I think it's just because she was thirsty. Maybe her mouth was dry. But I'm like, yo, I've never done that much talking for that to happen. No. But the reality
is
setting in.
I'm sure that's what those were from. I'm just saying.
So the reality is setting in. But here's where I give Chloe a pass on that. Mm-hmm. What her and Michael have gone through is in 2 or 3 days is more than the other couples went through in 5 days, six. Mm-hmm. Like they crammed it all in.
Yes.
You know, because they got to get caught up to everybody else. So I get it is moving pretty fast. But to your point, as you said earlier, you signed up for Married at First Sight. Yep. This is what the show is. So no panic attack now. you're about to go live with somebody.
I thought she was about to, I thought that was going to happen at the table. Like, oh, so we're back to the real world tomorrow. Huh? Wait, what are we doing? What is wrong with you?
Michael handled that so well because I was worried about, okay, what is she going with this when she says, I can't do this? I'm like, don't tell me you're about to do this to this man twice. And Michael's just sitting back, just kind of listening. He's like, you know, it's okay. You can be selfish. Think of yourself. Right. And me, I was just like, Jesus, yeah. Michael, the dude needs to write a book. I would buy it. I would just be like, this is what y'all say. This.
Yo, smooth. Right here. He went from having her say, I don't think I can do this. And we all went, uh-oh. And then he was like, oh, I see you. I can't do this. And I raise you. You should be more selfish.
Yeah.
The tears just flow. She had to get up from the table, excuse me, and went and ball.
Because not many men would do that. Mm-hmm. And especially not many men would do that after what Michael has gone through. Mm-hmm. Because if I went through what Michael went through the first time, and then she starts crying, I can't do this, I'd be like, let me go pack my 6 bags. I knew this would happen.
It's going to take me as long as it did for my show.
Yeah. I'd be like, I knew this would happen. My sister told me you weren't going to be shit. I should have did this. So he handled that way better than I would have.
Oh, yeah. No, Ella, Shamariel says, and then the panties came tumbling down. Yo, Michael was smooth. Fellas, that's how you handle that situation right there. Because she was like, oh, my God. What kind of man would say that? No one has ever said that to me before. That was her dramatic Emmy scene. For all of you who think she's an actress, that woman, she felt that. Kudos, Michael. That was a great job. Great job.
I'm reading some of these comments, and I'm like, I don't even want to ask what GTD stands for. Nikki, you have to educate me on this one.
Wait, oh, there you go.
Did I click on it?
Yeah, it's up there.
Now. Oh, yeah. Nikki B says, my name in Michael's little black book would have GTD next to it. What does that mean? I'm old. I don't know.
Well, look.
I have an idea, but I don't want to make an assumption. So.
Get the droves.
Oh, got it. I thought the D stood for something different. That's why I was
went another way with it.
That's what I thought. I was just like, I don't know if you'd have that in your black book like that. I mean, it'll be a little bit more discreet.
Well, that's why you have the acronym. Yeah, are we just making a difference that Allison got to drive because he sleeps in the car? Yo, Fred is like, yo, Nikki about to hop in Michael's DM.
Hey, boo, I love tats.
Which, to be fair, he might be watching this because he did watch last week's recap.
He did. So, Nikki, there you go. We're trying to help you out.
And for you, what we'll do, we'll try and get Michael on the show.
Love to have that. If not, tell everybody to invite men. Have your boyfriends and your husbands come and just have them sit there and take note and listen.
Everybody showed up with a pen. Yeah. Pen and a pad. Yes. We're ready.
Yeah.
School or so, master. Oh, man. Look, this has been, it's going to be an interesting one next week because as we see Becca and Austin, there's trouble in paradise. Even though you called us from the very beginning that was going to happen. Hey, before we get to the rest of these comments, Black Tornado did ask, will you talk about the weird tension between Chloe and Emily on the after show?
Was weird because Emily tried to call out Chloe. Well, she called out Chloe around Michael's deal and not telling his mom. Mm-hmm. But it's almost as if Emily is jealous. And the way Chloe handled her, like an adult. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, Chloe was just professional, didn't get fazed by any of it. And to me, it made Emily look bad in that whole deal. But that was, I mean, it was a short exchange. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was enough for me to look at Emily saying, hey, girl, stop that. Stop trying to be this mean girl, because that's not you.
Right.
At least not with Chloe. It's not going to work.
Well, speaking of Chloe, Nikki B had said earlier, if Chloe was really feeling him, him being Michael, she would not have said, I'm saying I can't do this, right?
Again, I don't believe that. That's just Nikki trying to. No, that's just Nikki trying to sprinkle some.
Remember, this is the same woman that had the panic attacks. Now, this is remember Chloe was having those on the first night, having these panic attacks. Which, by the way, Sarah said, stop doing her panic impressions. Y'all have me rolling.
Look, we can't help it. Sometimes we get a little bit nervous and anxious. It just happens. Only when we're awake, not when we're asleep.
We don't know that it's happening. It just happens.
You just try doing that. Just sit on a plane with somebody and all of a sudden, just see what people do. That would be hilarious. Everybody has a homework assignment. You got to do the panic attack impression some point over the next 6 days. And that way, when we do the next recap, I want to hear what happened.
Hey, Sean Gam had asked earlier, why is Chloe so jumpy in her sleep? Makes me think of how people act when they have done something and are scared they're gonna get caught. Mm. What villains do you know?
My grandma, as you say, you do something like that, you ain't living right. That's why you're doing that. Right.
Apparently, that's the case with Sean Gam, too. She's like, yep, I don't believe that. Keedy says, Chloe looks like an actress you see on an allergy or poise commercial. And J-Ro said, look, if Michael didn't get some, he's definitely getting some soon.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. And then LG Art was saying, hey, I live in Denver. I'm keeping my eye out for Michael. The women are on Michael right now. Remember how they were on Clint?
Oh, yeah. Everybody liked Clint. From Nashville? Everybody like Clint. Michael's better than Clint, though. And they're really neck and neck. But I think it's because Clint's a bit older, but they're really neck and neck. But both of them are smooth, good dudes.
Right. And by the way, Chaka Suno said, hey, I guarantee Clint still misses Hank way more than Gina. Yes, we're very sure of that, too. And last one, Sharon says, hey, my husband and I love your podcast. We appreciate it. Thank you very much. Since you guys
thank you, Sharon.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We
do this because of you guys. And, you know, it's you that make this fun to do. And we definitely appreciate you. Please do us a favor. Hit that like button. If you haven't already, hit that like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And do us all a favor. Hit that bell for notifications so you know when we go live, like tomorrow, when we do Ready to Love, the recap. This is going to be what? Episode 4?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The fact that we got Terrell to do Ready to Love again. Amazing. So
better than 90 Day Fiance. I'll take it.
Until the next one comes up. Yeah. Hey, thank you, Michelle. Thank you for the super chat and the donation. It says good show, guys. Yes, and thank you.
Thank you.
Make it an amazing show.
Thank you. And I wasn't even feeling it today. It was another travel day where I came back from Houston like this afternoon. I'm like, crap, I gotta sit and take notes and do this.
Hey, and don't you have to go to Houston again next week too?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, look, man, tomorrow we'll be back on. Next Thursday, we'll be back. Tomorrow, we're doing Ready to Love. Next Thursday, we'll be back. It will look a little different next week.
Yeah.
It's going to look a little different next week. And we'll explain why next week. That's called a tease.
Yep.
Next Thursday, as we can recap, Married at First Sight, season 17.
Stop. Let's call it an Austin. It's not a tease. It's called an Austin.
It's called a tease. Oh my god, you are stupid. It's called an Austin.
It's called an Austin. We're not calling it a tease anymore. It's called an Austin. Yeah, he is. Yeah, it is. You're gonna kiss a little bit, but you ain't gotta do nothing else. Yeah, it's called an Austin. So,
on that note, I'm Yanni Rude,
and I'm just terrible.
Jesus, you just can't let it go. Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts from the bullshit on your net. We'll type it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.